She has just spent 5 months fighting Ebola in Liberia, and then three weeks recuperating in South America. She was honored this last year by Time Magazine as being one of the persons of the month of the year. She has an orphanage in Liberia for children whose parents have died from Ebola. She also got funds from friends in America that she used to purchase an ambulance that she uses to go into the cities and drag people off the streets who are infected with the disease and take them to hospitals. She is a Christian, a graduate of Valley Forge Christian College, and she was on NBC Nightly News this last week and her family being interviewed. She reminds me of two people that we see in Philippians chapter 2, Timothy and Epaphroditus, because her heart, particularly for the children of Liberia, is the same kind of heart that Timothy had for the people in Philippi. And also that her spirit of sacrifice, of taking risks, is similar to that of Epaphroditus. Let me just read the last two verses of chapter 2, and then we'll get back to verse 19 and look at Timothy and Epaphroditus and these two men who, along with Katie, are people that we are to emulate in our lives. But Philippians chapter 2, verses 28 to 30. Therefore, I have sent him all the more eagerly, so that when you see him again, you may rejoice, and I may be less concerned about you. Receive him then in the Lord with all joy. And catch this. Hold men like him in high regard, because he came close to death for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was deficient in your service to me. As we think about the type of people that we're to honor for service, you know, in Christianity, who is really to be a person of the year? Who are the type of people that God honors? They're the Timothys and the Epaphrodituses. And there's two qualities that stand out to me in looking at chapter 2, verses 19 to 30 about Timothy and Epaphroditus. One is the sincerity of heart that Timothy had for the people that God had called him to minister to. He loved people sincerely. The other thing that jumps to me from these pages is about Epaphroditus and his sacrificial spirit. He risked his own life simply to bring some physical needs, some aid to Paul as he was in prison. A sacrificial spirit, a sincere heart. Those are things that God wants us to have. And as we think about, you know, working for the Lord, not just, you know, in Alaska or in Liberia, but right here in Dickinson County, what is it that God's looking for? What does God seek for as he taps individuals to work for him and to serve him? And two of the things that he's looking for in each of our lives, are we the kind of person that sincerely, purely loves other people? Are we the kind of person who is willing to take risks in service for God, even the risk of our life? And let's keep those in mind. Let's first of all look at Paul and then Timothy and then Epaphroditus as sincerity and sacrifice are honorable qualities for Christian workers. Paul, first of all, he was a concerned individual for others, and we need to be concerned as well. Look at chapter 2, verse 19. Paul says, I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, so that I also may be encouraged when I learn of your condition. Paul was a concerned person for the condition, the spiritual dynamic of this local church in Philippi. And as we care for the condition of our own family members in our, you know, family that we get together with at Christmas and other times, and we're concerned for our children and grandchildren, for our parents as they're aging, we also need to be concerned for the family of God that he has placed us in, to care for one another. And Paul was concerned about this local church, this family of God in the city. I'm concerned right now. It's going to have some parent. I'm really concerned. What was going on in Philippi? But he wasn't free to visit them. He was tied up. And sometimes you want to go and see someone and visit them and you're tied up. Well, Paul was really tied up. He was in chains. He was in prison. He had appealed to have his trial be heard by Caesar. And so he was on the verge of going before the emperor to defend the fact that he was preaching about a Jesus who had resurrected, that the Jewish leaders had accused him of blasphemy in doing so. And he had not done that. But he is about to be tried for his belief in Christ. And so he was unable to go, but he cared about these people. He wanted to thank them for the gift that they've brought to him, that Epaphroditus had brought for the Philippians. He wanted to assure them that he was okay. In fact, he wanted them to know that he was delighted that he could be in prison, that he could stand trial. Because while he's in prison, he's witnessing to all these guards and they're coming to know Christ, and there's people in Caesar's own household who are being saved, so he wants them to know he's okay. And he also wants the condition of the church in Philippi to grow even more in love, and that they would learn to get along better and be unified and harmonious. But he couldn't be there, so he wants them to know that he's going to do the best he can, and that's to send his representative, Timothy, to be with them. And that leads us to verse 20. For I have no one else of Timothy of kindred spirit who will genuinely be concerned for your welfare. Paul planned to send sincere Timothy to minister to them in his place. He hoped to send Timothy. It's quite interesting that he says in verse 20, I have no one else who has a kindred spirit that has genuine concern for you, Philippians, that I can send. That's a remarkable thing. He's in the capital of the world. He's got people coming and going from his house as he's under house arrest all the time. He's had people other than Epaphroditus coming and bringing him things to provide for his food and so forth. And yet he says, of all the Christians here around me, there's no one I can send but Timothy. Now, maybe Luke, who had been with Timothy and Paul in reaching the Philippians to begin with, who seems to have been with him, he may have been off on some other trip or something. But it's a remarkable thing that no one else has these qualities that Timothy had. But because Timothy had these qualities, Paul says he's the man for the job. Look at these qualities. This is what God's looking for in our life. Verse 20, I have no one else of a kindred spirit. It means the same soul as Paul, a similar heart. It means that Timothy and Paul kind of were in sync together in their concerns, in their vision, in their care for the people in Philippi. I was thinking, how can we understand that better? And I was thinking of Mike Barker, and that he's going to be gone until the very end of this month because of a strike in Minnesota that he's filling in for, and then he's off to China. And in the meantime, the youth ministry, Rock Solid, that he's been leading, you know, is going to be without him. And he's looking for people who have the same heart for that ministry, who have the same concern and interest in the youth of our church to kind of step in for him while he's gone. And he's been able to find that. He's got, a whole sledding party today that Rob and others are helping leading. He's got his wife. I think they have a similar spirit and care. And he really had to go low because he got me to teach his Sunday school class today. But Mike has people that he's found that have a genuine interest, that have a similar passion and soul for the youth of the church. And praise God for that. That's what Paul saw that Timothy had and why Timothy was the man for this job. No one else of kindred spirit. And here we have this genuinely be concerned for your welfare. The idea of genuine is pure. It's sincere. It's without hypocrisy. And as I look at that, I've got to think, is that the kind of concern I have in ministering to others? Is it pure? Is it genuine? Do I really care for people? And that's something we all need to constantly be evaluating and letting God kind of work at us. Are we ministering because we really care about those people or for some other reason? And Paul says of Timothy, I can send him without any qualms because I know his goals and his drive is very pure and sincere. He loves those folks. And then he says, for others, they all seek after their own interests, not those of Christ. Timothy could go because he had an unselfish interest. Now let's look at a couple of the verses in 1 Corinthians in chapter 12 and chapter 10. 1 Corinthians 12:25, see that there are no division in the body, but that the members have the same care for one another. That emphasizes the need that we're to care. We're to have a concern for one another. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 33, Paul says of himself in his ministry, just as I also please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many so that they may be saved. Paul's reason for serving others, Timothy's reason for being Paul's representative, is not to make money, not to fill one's pockets, but to help people come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and to love him and serve him. That's what motivates them. That's their passion. And that's what God is looking for in our hearts. People that simply want to serve God because God has done so much for them. That is the type of ministers God's looking for. Even as we think about helping out the MOPS program and taking care of kids so that mothers of preschoolers can have an opportunity to fellowship and to be encouraged, we need to have that right motivation, that we're interested in the things of Christ. We're not doing it for a pat on the back, so to speak. Now let's go on and see one other thing about Timothy that qualifies him to get the tap to go to Philippi. Verse 22 in Philippians 2, but you know of his proven worth, that he served me in the furtherance of the gospel like a child serving his father. Timothy had been tested in ministry, and he'd been proven as one that can be depended upon. Paul could send Timothy off and not worry about the fact that things were going to be done right and that Timothy was going to hang in there and be faithful. It's interesting what Paul writes in 1 Corinthians again, chapter 4 and verse 17 about Timothy. For this reason I have sent to you Timothy, who is my beloved and faithful child in the Lord. And he will remind you of the ways which are in Christ, just as I teach everywhere in every church. Timothy had been with Paul when he initially went to Philippi. And later on, when Paul was tied up in Corinth, he had been able to send Timothy back to help the people in Philippi grow in their Christian life. They knew, these Philippians, that Timothy was faithful and didn't slack off and didn't run away from trials and problems, but was a one who was given to evangelism and reaching people for Christ and caring about other Christians. He was a proven minister of God. You know what kind of people God is looking for to serve him in this community? Fat people. Fat. F-A-T. F, they're faithful, like Timothy. You can count on them. You can delegate to them, and you know that they're going to do it. They're fat, faithful. A, is they're available. Timothy was the only one at hand, but he was available. He was ready to go. And if God would tap you on the shoulder today and say, hey, I want you to help, you know, with the mopettes. I want you to help in the youth ministry. Are you available? Are you ready to go where God might lead you to go? Maybe it's to visit your neighbor and share with them about Jesus Christ. Are you available? Timothy was. He was faithful. He was available. And T, teachable. Timothy was willing to learn and to continue to learn and adapt and grow as a Christian. So, God's looking for fat people. Faithful, available, and teachable. And Paul says again that he hoped to be with them soon in verse 23. Therefore, I hope to send him immediately as soon as I see how things go for me. And I trust in the Lord that I myself also will be coming shortly. Paul says, I'm going to send Timothy, but I'm not going to send him until I've had the trial and I find out if I'm going to get my head chopped off or if I'm going to be let free. And I want you to know the results of that because of your anxiety, so I'm going to wait until then, until I send Timothy to you. And what's insightful here is that his hope to be delivered from prison was in the Lord, verse 24, I trust in the Lord that I myself will be coming to you shortly. And back in verse 19, I hope in the Lord to send Timothy. He recognized that everything that he was wanting to do was dependent upon what Jesus allowed and permitted. He mentioned earlier to the Philippians that he says, I trust that through the Spirit of Jesus and your prayers, that I'll be delivered from prison to be with you. At the same time, he'd written just previously to a guy named Philemon in Colossae, and he says, oh, I'm here in prison, but I want you to prepare a lodging for me in your house. I'm going to come to you soon through your prayers and the provision of Jesus Christ. He was dependent upon Jesus and his working for things to happen. And we need not to be presumptuous that certain things are going to happen. We need to say, hey, if it's Christ's will, if he decides, then, hey, these things that I wish to happen may indeed happen. Timothy, a similar heart, a genuine concern, unselfish interest, a proven evangelist. And if you have the notes there from the bulletin, you'll see that there's a little map at the bottom. And that shows on the left where Paul was in Rome and the route to Philippi that Paul hoped to send Timothy on and then to follow up also himself to get there. It's about 1,000 miles from Rome to Philippi. Now, if you were to retrace that route in the reverse direction from Philippi back to Rome, you would go through the area of present-day Macedonia and Greece. You come to the Adriatic Sea, the straits, and then jump over to the heel of Italy, and then go up to Rome. Again, about 1,000 miles. The same trip in length that it was for us to go from Washington, D.C. to Iron Mountain, about 900 plus miles. Epaphroditus had made the trip from Philippi to Rome. In those days, they didn't have Penske trucks. They didn't have four-lane freeways. They did have a Roman brick-paved road, but there were thieves around. And the pass that we made between Lake Huron and Lake Michigan over the, how do you pronounce this, Mackinac? There's all kinds of ways to pronounce that. Mackinac Bridge, we had to have an escort, you know, lead us over the bridge because of the wind. For Epaphroditus, he had to get on a ship to go through the straits that are between the Aegean, Adriatic, and the Mediterranean, between the Adriatic and Mediterranean Sea there. It was a risky journey. Epaphroditus had to worry not only about being robbed, not only about the threats of danger from winds and shipwrecks and so forth, but also there was sickness going on. William Barclay talks about a Roman fever that often would come and sweep through the city. And as I think about people risking themselves going to West Africa to minister, there was risks in traveling to Rome. Epaphroditus, who is going from Philippi to Rome with this gift from the Philippians, he was risking himself because he was going to be visiting a criminal, one who was there on capital charges, one whose life could be taken. And that was risky to associate with Paul, because you might be thrown in prison as well. But Epaphroditus was willing to go through all those risks simply to bring physical goods to relieve Paul in his needs in prison. Let's look at Epaphroditus. This is about the only is the passage in the Bible about him. Verse 25, "But I thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger and minister to my need, because he was longing for you all and was distressed because you had heard that he was sick. For indeed he was sick to the point of death, but God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but also on all me, so that I would not have sorrow upon sorrow." Epaphroditus was sent by Paul. He was the first UPS delivery man, commended by Paul, and here are his qualities. First of all, to Paul was a brother. His being a Christian and coming to visit Paul, Paul says, he's my brother. Not physically, but there was a spiritual link that Paul wanted the Philippians to know that their representative had with him. The other thing is he mentions about Epaphroditus here in verse 25, my fellow worker. Epaphroditus is not just seen as some, you know, behind the scenes cleanup person, that's, you know, the delivery boy. But Paul says he's a fellow team player with me. He's the second fellow in the boat as the two guys are oaring together. That's how he sees Epaphroditus in his ministry in bringing the funds. We had Operation Christmas Child, where we had these boxes, shoe boxes, with toys in them that would have tracks and things that would eventually get into them that are going to be taken to places around the world. And there are people that gather all those up in America and put them on semis and ship them, and national pastors who are involved in taking them and going to remote, distant places to give these to children and to follow up and help these kids come to know Christ. Those messengers are affirmed here as part of the team, fellow players, vital people in ministry. And that's what Epaphroditus is. He is a fellow soldier. And we have soldiers in this room here who have sacrificed their lives for our country. And Paul, when he thinks about the work of Jesus Christ, when he thinks about this man who risked his life to bring food and supplies to Paul, he says that man is a soldier in the army of Jesus Christ. Now, Paul will tell Timothy that we as believers, and Timothy in particular, is to go forward like a soldier, denying things of this world, sacrificing for the work of Jesus Christ. Another thing about him is he's a representative of the people. And a fifth thing about Philippi that Paul mentions here in verse 25, and minister to my need. The term he uses for minister is the term that we get the word liturgy from. It means an official. It was used of a priest. It was used of a police officer, one who had an official job. And Paul says this man, he is an official worker for God. And if your role, that God has tapped you on the back, is to take funds from one place to another for God's work, it may be to collect an offering, it may be to count the money, God sees that as very valuable. He sees that as a minister. That's how Paul sees Epaphroditus here. He is affirming these things about Epaphroditus to the people in Philippi. And some have speculated that maybe it's because the reason Epaphroditus had been sent from Philippi was not only to bring the goods to Paul, but to stay there, to be there to encourage him for the long term. And now all of a sudden, he shirked his duty, it seemed like. He's coming back. And Paul wants to affirm to these people, oh, no, no, this is not a shirker of duty. This man, he's a soldier. He's a minister. And I'm sending him back simply because I want someone to come to you, and I'm delayed, and Timothy's going to be delayed until I know what's going on with me. And so I want Epaphroditus to come and be there. And don't think that he shirked his duty. I've sent him to be with you. Affirm him in the Lord. In fact, we find here a little bit about what has happened to Epaphroditus, that Epaphroditus was sent to relieve the people in Philippi of their grief. Look at verse 26. He was longing for you. Literally, it could be translated, he was longing to see you. You know, you've got a friend you haven't seen for a while. You want to be with them. Sometimes when we're parents with young children, we go, oh, I just want a break. But while we're having that break, if that break gets extended, all of a sudden, I want to see my children. We want to be with them. Epaphroditus had been distanced from his family, from that church family there in Philippi, and now he was longing to be back with them. And Paul says that's a good thing. He was longing for you all and was distressed. The same term is used of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was distressed because you, that's the Philippians, had heard that he was sick. Epaphroditus was grieving because his friends back in Philippi had heard that he was sick and were worrying about him. And so he was worrying about them worrying about him. Sounds like something my mother would have done. And so Paul is sending Epaphroditus to relieve Epaphroditus' worry, to relieve the Philippians' worry, to let them know he's okay. And then he goes on today to say in verse 27, for indeed he was sick to the one of death. The point of death, and God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but also on me, so that I should not have sorrow upon sorrow. And the word for sorrow there is the same word that's used of a woman who's in pain, sorrow, having a child. Paul, all these sorrowful people, Paul was in sorrow, in pain, because this man who loved him, who had come to minister to him, was about dead from his sickness. And God, though, had mercy on Epaphroditus and at the same time showed mercy to Paul, who was suffering because he was so concerned about Epaphroditus. When we think of, I'm thinking about the Liberia situation. And remember Dr. Kent Bradley, one of the first victims from America who was in Liberia, who came down with the Ebola infection, and he was on the brink of death. And many speculate he's probably going to die, and they rushed him here, with the people wearing those white medic things and getting him. And just think how relieved that family was when he came out of the hospital and he was able to talk to his wife and he was, taken back home to North Carolina. What relief. And what Paul is saying, I want to send Epaphroditus to you because you heard that he was on the brink of death. I want you to see he's okay. And so Paul is sending Epaphroditus. And Epaphroditus is probably the one who carried the letter to Philippi that we all have copies, translations of before us today. He was the carrier bringing this back to Philippi. Now let's go on and close this up and looking again at verses 28 to 30. Therefore, I've sent him all the more eagerly so that when you see him again, you may rejoice and I may be less concerned about you. That simply means I won't be so worried about you because you've been worried about Epaphroditus. Once he gets there, you're going to see that he's okay and you're going to relax. Verse 29, receive him then in the Lord with all joy. And then he has this statement, hold men like him in high regard. The idea is to honor. The term is used when Jesus talks about how when you have a meal and you have a place of honor, the guest of honor or the king or prince is seated. That kind of honor is to be given to this messenger Epaphroditus. Why is it that Epaphroditus is to be honored? Well, he goes on and says why in verse 30, which gives us a reason of what kind of people we're to honor today. Verse 30, because he came close to death for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was deficient in your service for me. The folks in Philippi, they wanted to be with Paul. They wanted to give and help Paul and encourage Paul and provide for him financially, but they couldn't be there in Rome. So they sent Epaphroditus to do that for them, to be their extension. And Epaphroditus did that. He filled in fully for the people in Philippi to complete what they wanted done. But in doing it, he's to be honored because he risked his life to do it for the work of Jesus Christ. And those that we're to honor are people who are sacrificial, who risk something. It's quite interesting, the term risk is actually a gambling term used of throwing dice, to risk something. Do we risk? And yesterday as I was thinking about this and God affirming people who risk themselves. I'm thinking, am I willing to take risks for the work of Jesus? And, my conscience, the Holy Spirit was saying, Rich, there's some people that you could call that you really haven't gotten to know that are part of this church family yet. And I said, well, they mean not want me to call. I may be bothering them. They may not like me just kind of intruding in their day. And it was kind of like, take the risk. Step out and do what the Spirit is nudging you to do, even though there's a risk to it. And so I did, and had positive responses, thank God, in those calls. And we run into that constantly, day by day. And we need to recognize that what comes with serving God is taking risks, being willing to suffer a little rejection at times. And that's what God wants. And God honors those who take risks for Him. So what kind of workers is God looking for today? Those who have a sincere heart, not two-faced, and those who are sacrificial. When NBC interviewed Katie Myler, they said, "Oh, aren't you glad to be back home with your mom here in New Jersey?" And she says, "Yeah, but I also want to be home with my kids in Liberia, those orphan girls." She had a sincere heart for those kids. And then they asked her mom, "What do you think when, you know, Katie's there and pulling, you know, infected patients from the streets so they can get to the hospital? I mean, she's certainly risking, she could get the disease herself." And her mom says, "Yes, she could." And then her mother said this, it was on national news. She put it like this, her Tennessee accent. She said, "You know, the way I look at it is, you're safer where you are where God wants you to be. You're safer when you're where God wants you to be." Let's pray together. Father, help us to continue to be sincere in our ministry to others and to be willing to make sacrifice, to take risks in light of the fact that Your Son sacrificed Himself for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. This time we'll have our monthly benevolent fund. And if the ushers who are going to take that offering could do that, this goes to help folks in our community who, like Paul, have physical needs. And boy, what a passage we just looked at that shows the importance God places on ministering to those who have physical needs. And after we pray, Chris is going to lead us in a closing hymn. And Brian, you want to lead us in prayer, asking God's blessing. Let's stand together.